You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Hey, hi, welcome to the latest episode of Scottish Football Forums podcast. I'm John and we're at season 13, episode 6. So we've got something a wee bit different tonight. We're focusing on the Championship. So, like what we've done with the Premiership podcast in the last few seasons, I was going to call it a preview, but can't really call it a preview when there's a few games into the season. But it's as good as a preview as we'll get. And we've got a couple of returning guests and four debutants on the podcast. So I'll start off with the returning guests. And it works out well because in terms of clubs that are on, it's alphabetical. So I've got Airdrie fan on Katie, who returns. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad, thanks. Yourself?
I am good, aye. Good to have you on.
No, it's nice to be back.
Is that like just back on the podcast or back in the Championship?
Both, to be fair. No long coming.
And then we've got Dundee United fan Andy, who's been on a couple of times before. How are you doing, Andy?
Yeah, I'm good. It's not so good to be back in terms of back in the Championship, but I'm hoping it's a short and sweet stay.
Aye, well, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, your club has been demoted, but you've only been demoted by virtue of your club being poor. Your performances in the podcast previously were Premiership
class. I'll take that, John.
That might be as nice as we are to you tonight.
Aye.
So take it early while we're doing that. We'll go with the debutants now. So we've got Dunfermline fan Adam. How are you doing?
Hi, John. Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, aye. Good to have you on.
Thank you. Yeah, looking forward to the chat.
And then we've got Morton fan Robert. How are you doing?
I'm good, John. Thanks for having me on. Wee bit sick after Saturday's result, but I'm sure we'll cover that as we're talking.
Aye, I'm probably going to touch upon it. And I know it's not for the folk that can listen to the podcast, but us on the podcast tonight, we can see that you're wearing your nice Morton top.
And I've got my signed Andy Ritchie top on the wall behind me.
Very nice. So joining us as well on a recommendation from Vinny, so no pressure here, we have Partick Thistle fan Heather. How are you doing?
Yeah, great, thank you. That's a glowing report to be recommended by Vinny, and happy to be here. Well, not got my Thistle colours on, I do have red, yellow and black decorations up in my house, so we'll take that. But yeah, actually I wish this podcast had been before the season started rather than a few games in, as I'm sure you can all understand from my point of view. So yeah, looking forward to speaking about it.
Aye, it's that way, like before the season starts everyone's optimistic and then it can only take like one game and then it quickly kind of changes, doesn't it? But it's early days. So finishing off the debutants, we have Ali, Wraith Rovers fan. How you doing?
I'm good, John, thanks for having me on. Yeah, glad to be here. Sounds like we're going to have an interesting panel tonight to have a chat.
Aye, it should be good, aye. And we've got a couple of rival clubs on as well, and some clubs as well, I would say, that kind of have a wee bit of history and maybe don't like each other too much as well. So it should be fun.
Yes, indeed.
As I say, for folk that I've heard before, I'm going to run this like the kind of Premiership preview that we did. For those that haven't, strap in and enjoy yourself. So we've got a few topics we'll cover. So like summer signings, predictions for the season ahead, or for the rest of the season, areas that still need strengthened. We've got 10 days left in the transfer window, but I know maybe some of the clubs might even kind of strengthen outside of that, if there's players still available. Who people think might finish the top scorer, whether it's their own club or in the league. Pre-season and how things have been going so far, best signing, and then young talent, and there'll be some other stuff as well. I'll start for yourself, Katie, just because it's nice alphabetical order. So, Airdrie, in terms of summer signings, there's been a few. What do you make of the signings so far?
I'm actually really pleased with them. A couple we've not really seen very much of, because like Nikolai Todorov kind of got injured. He just came back on Saturday. He did look quite promising before he did get injured, but he's, I think he'll be an interesting one to watch because he kind of gives us something that we've not had for a long time, a big kind of physical striker. Mason Hancock, we only seen him for a wee bit on Saturday, but he looked quite strong as well. And then we've got the two young boys that we've got on loan from Hibs, who Josh O'Connor looks, he's fantastic. This pace of this boy is phenomenal. He gave Ross County, when he came on Saturday, he gave them a bit of a fright. Obviously, he won the penalty and then he scored a goal as well. We've also got Murray Aitken, who looks like a really decent midfielder. And Elliot Dunlop, who we only just saw on Saturday, he came on for the bench. And again, another midfielder who looks as if, all young boys, a lot of promise. So it's all good.
Aye, the interesting one, obviously O'Connor's Gary O'Connor's son, isn't he? So
aye.
He's got a good, a role model in terms of what not to do in terms of his kind of career. I'm not saying Gary O'Connor didn't have a good career, but I think we would all agree that Gary O'Connor could have had an even better career if off the field. Trouble hadn't kind of worked out the way it did.
He's very like his dad, actually looks very like his dad, which is a bit scary, but he's a really good, strong kind of winger striker. He looks as if he's going to be one for the future. Hopefully the Scotland team are kind of keep my wee eye on him.
Aye. I'm interested, I'm an Aberdeen fan, so from a point of view of Mason Hancock. He started last pre-season, wasn't he? Kind of played a couple of games. Either kind of left back or centre back. Where did he play for you at the weekend?
He played centre back, but it's quite good that he can fill in that role, because we've got Cammy Ballantyne at left back and we've got Craig Watson at right back, but Cammy can play right back as well, so you've got that cover if one of the two get injured, that you can switch him over and then put Hancock at left back. He looked good on Saturday. He wasn't on for very long, but he did look quite good. He looked as if a bit physical, which we're needing. Our defence is definitely, for me, the defence is where we're kind of struggling a wee bit. As much as we've got kind of big defenders, they lose goals, as we've seen on Saturday.
Aye. I mean, I suppose in terms of like a lot of the squads in the Championship, maybe they're run with kind of smaller squads than what you would in the Premiership, so you need that versatility in the squad to kind of cover a few positions.
Definitely, definitely.
Right, okay, so aye, all good so far. Anyone that you lost that you would have preferred to have kept?
Callum Smith was a massive loss. I just such that boy, see the work rate of that boy. He might not have scored a hell of a lot of goals, but he created so much space for our strikers. The year he played with Dylan Easton, which I'm really jealous that Wraith have been fortunate to get both of them, but the year he played with Dylan Easton, I reckon he must have set up at least half of Dylan Easton's goals. He created so much space. His work rate, he's up and down the park. He's absolutely phenomenal. He's the massive loss to us, a massive loss.
That's a loss, right?
He's the guy that surprised me, actually, as a Rovers fan. When we signed Callum Smith this season, I mean, it felt inevitable it was going to happen at some point that Callum Smith was coming to Stars Park. But he's actually a better player than I gave him credit for than we thought we'd signed. I thought he might be a bit of a bit part player this year. But he scored 3 goals in 4 games for us and he's led the line really comfortably. His work rate's tremendous. He's actually got a bit about him as well. He's actually got a good touch in that, and he can use his body well. So yeah. I think he's been a pleasant surprise for me. So yeah, I can see why Airdrie would be missing him, certainly.
Lovely guy as well. Nicer guy you can never meet. He's so nice, spends loads of time with the fans. His missus is lovely too. They're just such a nice family. Even like you see his mum and dad kicking about the club and his brother kicked about the club loads. So I'm kind of hopeful that we might get a wee bit of Connor Smith this season. But I don't know if that's possible.
Still available.
He is just now. But I think the money that Hearts are looking for is possibly a wee bit out of our reach. Although after having lost Justin Devaney today to Crystal Palace, Mel, maybe we've got that money in the bank now. We don't know how much we got for him, but we did get something. So for somebody that you didn't pay any money for, then that's not too bad.
What do the rest of you think about Airdrie's recruitment over the summer so far? Feel free to come in, whoever.
I think, obviously, we played them last week. And I was really impressed by the team that we saw, because I don't know if you saw it, Katie, but your media team produced a fantastic thing beforehand of our head-to-heads. And I actually wasn't quite sure why they did it, because it definitely was more in our favour. But it was quite entertaining. And but obviously the head-to-heads were there, and we haven't played in quite a long time, but also haven't played quite a long time in the same league, and yeah. I was really impressed by the way that Airdrie attacked the game, and I felt like your midfield looked really strong. I actually have a question for you, because Chris Doolin has been talking a lot about using our young players this year, and obviously yeah. Ben Stanway was with you. Like, how would you summarise him?
He was a great player for us, absolutely brilliant. I was actually quite shocked that he didn't go in the park last week.
So were we.
he's such a good player. He's strong as well for somebody so young. He's willing to put himself about, and he's really strong passing ball as well. He's really good passer of the ball.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we really enjoyed him during the League Cup, and then Doolin hasn't really put trust in him for the league yet. But yeah. I think from the ways I've gone, that I'm hopeful. But I did see that he got like an interesting reception from the Airdrie support. That's always going to happen, exactly. But I thought your game plan worked on last Saturday, and credit to you for that.
It was a good game. It was a really good game.
It wasn't. I mean,
well, it wasn't. It was quite a few. But I actually thought, because I think that was the first time we've played you at home and beat you at home in 13 years or something like that. But having we played you in the cup last year, and it was just like a walkover from you guys. You guys just bowled us over. But this year, I think everybody's quite pleasantly surprised that we're not just there to make up the numbers. We're actually there to play a bit of football. And that's what I like about Rhys McCabe. He doesn't change his game plan for nobody.
Yeah, definitely. Well, credit to you for that.
Andy, you've got a question.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to hear that Josh O'Connor's got pace, because that's definitely, his father was a cracking footballer and certainly could have been a lot better. But one thing he didn't have was pace. But it's good to see the Airdrie are still, I suppose, the kind of free-flowing, exciting ability to score so many goals, because last season in League One, they scored a lot of goals. I know they also conceded a lot of goals. And that seems to have just kind of continued, you know, and against a Premiership side. I suppose two Premiership sides you've now given a bit of a spook. So I was pleased to see you were able to pap Dundee out of the League Cup nice and early, which was good and appreciated. But the game against County at the weekend to get two late goals. And I was just curious how it's worked with McCabe being a player manager, because I'm struggling to think of the last guy that successfully was a player manager in recent times in Scotland. I can't think of anyone, certainly not in the top two divisions, that's been a player manager. So it's interesting to see McCabe, obviously he's done it at League One, but now to step up, and he's young enough that he could continue playing, I'm guessing, for the foreseeable.
Yeah, he's doing well, actually. He's got, obviously he's got Brian Prunty and David Hutton at the side, but it's definitely, it's recent Callum Ferdice who are picking the team, and even when they're on the park, they're the ones that are shouting instruction over to the guys on the side, and he'll listen to them if they can see something he's not seeing. But it's his game plan, and that's the way he plays it. And I think you're right. He's injured just now. He got injured against Thistle, so I think he's going to be out for a few weeks. But so this, you see a different side, because last season there was a couple of games where you kind of thought he needed to be on the side of the park to see what was going on, and he took himself off, and he was just managing for a couple of games. But and then it was as if he realised, right, this is what I'm missing. This is what I'm missing when I'm on the park. But he's, I think he'll do really well. I think he's going to be a phenomenal manager, because he's great. He's a great coach. You see him, he coaches some people through games while he's like talking them through the whole game.
Anyway, yeah, it's interesting. Because he's a really young player. I mean, what was he, 29 when he was given the gig? So.
Yeah, he's 31 now. He was 31 at the end of last month. Right. So he's really young for his youngest manager in Scotland. I think he might actually be the youngest manager in Britain, actually.
Anyone else want to come in before we kind of move on, maybe kind of next club to kind of go over signings? So, all right. Right, okay. Andy, we'll move on to Dundee United. Obviously, got relegated. Massive clean out of players. Probably in terms of signing so far, it's maybe quality over quantity, maybe.
It's a different signing approach, right? Because the model before, when we had kind of Tony Asgar spending someone else's money, was to go out and get guys with, you know, an international cap or whatever at the CB. Whereas I think the recruitment's been quite sensible. The glaring hole for us was obviously to actually get a competent goalkeeper in. And so that's a huge start to Mark Berighetti's still in the books, but he has not been given a squad number. So there's no intention, obviously, to play him despite signing him for a six-figure fee 12 months ago. And so we've got a guy called Jack Walton in goals who's looked good. And actually the League Cup game against Thistle, Heather, I don't know if you were there or watched that. Thistle won, which was pretty concerning for me because obviously we'd had a really bad start in terms of you lose five straight games to get relegated, and then Goodwin then loses to Spartans in kind of game one, and then we've got the Thistle defeat. But I don't know if I was even more concerned afterwards because our goalkeeper, Walton, actually I felt was pretty good against Thistle, and I was thinking, my goodness, we're losing home to Thistle, and I'm thinking the keeper's quite good. But it was a relief just to see we've kind of got a competent keeper in there, or what it seems competent so far. We've got two new defenders in, so that we had a disaster with Mulgrew and Ryan Edwards last year. Got Jason Holt, obviously, in from Thistle. And then we got a guy called Ollie Denneman from Cardiff who didn't really look up to it. And credit, they've gone back into the market and they brought in Declan Gallagher. I think that's a good kind of, we've really got a kind of good back triangle there. And then obviously as part of the strategy of raiding Thistle as well, we went in and got Ross Docherty in the middle of the park, which was, I think, the kind of positionally the player we really missed last season, because we had a lot of kind of good passing footballers like your Dylan Levitz, your Jamie McGrath, etc., but they weren't willing to do the dirty work. We'd never replace like the Yando Fuchs we maybe had a couple of years ago, or Callum Butcher, who obviously went to Motherwell. And then we've obviously brought in Liam Grimshaw as well from Morton, which seems to be a kind of steady start as well. And it feels like Tony Watt's a bit of a new signing kind of coming back in. It's a difficult one to manage because he's obviously been made vice-captain. He was captain at the weekend with Docherty injured, but I don't think we've really got any other choice here because the guy's getting paid thousands of pounds a week. He's not going to get that money elsewhere. So I think Goodwin knows that he effectively just has to manage the guy. The other option is just to pay him off, which would seem stupid when he's got 2 years left. He's not going to earn the money he's getting at Dundee United elsewhere. So I think they have to manage Tony Watt's ego and manage him and try and get the best out of him. And then Louis Moult up front is obviously a huge gamble because he's only started four games in the last 4 years. He's been completely ruined the best years of his career, probably by injury after leaving Motherwell and going down south. But he obviously started the game against Arbroath and he scored one and had three assists, which was a pretty good way to kind of mark your kind of league start. So if we can keep him fit, I think Louis Moult's going to score goals. And then we've obviously had wholesale changes with loads of guys going out. You know, we've had Berighetti Smith. Well, Berighetti's not being given a squad number. Liam Smith's gone. Mulgrew and Edwards, as I said. Beach has gone back to Australia. Levitt to Hibs. Jume, Harks, McGrath, Niskanen, Fletcher, Chalmers, Pollitt. So it's been a total turnaround in squad.
Pleased with the turnaround so far?
Pardon? Yeah, I think the eight signings we've got, I mean, other than the guy Denham, who's looked a little bit shaky coming in from Cardiff, the key for us is to have a solid back triangle and then also to have a guy in the middle of the park, you know, a real bastard basically in the middle of the park, which I think Ross Docherty is. We lacked that last year. Teams were able to run over the top of Dylan Levitt and Jamie McGrath, and we've got that real tough guy in the middle of the park. Grimshaw similarly looks quite tough, and then we've got a little bit of cutting edge with Moult up front, I think. So I think we potentially need one more creative player. Dunfermline took the lead. It's good to see you again, Adam. Adam and I go back a number of years. We used to play football badly against each other at university about 15 years ago. So Adam, the Dunfermline fan, they obviously weren't quite able to hang on to the 3 points at Tannadice the weekend before last. But that, I think, is going to be something that United will need to get better at, because we are the biggest side in the league, and we'll have to try and break down sides inevitably, either by going a goal behind or if we're drawing a game, pressure from a big home support to go and win games. And I think we're potentially lacking a creative player to try and kind of still create more chances, because the goal we got from against Dunfermline was just a kind of hit from 20 yards outside the box. I thought Dunfermline were managing that game relatively well. And I think that's something that we're going to need to look at in terms of just maybe getting someone else to try and crack open a defence when 20 minutes of a game left, it's petering out and we're dropping points, fans are getting restless. But aside from that, yes, I think the recruitment has been pretty good so far.
Okay, nice one. Heather, obviously you'll be annoyed that they've stole a couple of your players.
Yeah, most definitely. I think Thistle fans really enjoyed that win in the League Cup, obviously. And I think Kevin Holt and Ross Socrates got a little bit of stick for leaving.
Surely not.
Totally understand it, you know, like, obviously, yes, absolutely gutting that they're not with us this season, but totally understand that there's a huge incentive there. You know, the wage that Dundee United can offer is is fantastic. But yeah, no, I mean, Kevin Hull is a fantastic player and is lethal in both boxes, both you know, clearing his lines, but and also going forward. He can play left back as well when needed. He had to play that a bit for us last season due to circumstances, and as much as he hates it, he'll do it, and he does a job there. He worked really well with Scott Tiffany. Doc, I think Thistle fans really are missing Doc more now that he's gone than we maybe appreciated at the time. He was Ian McCall's man, and Ian McCall would say every week, Thistle fans don't appreciate Ross Doherty enough and things like that. But when you tell someone to appreciate them, it's kind of hard to, you know, you kind of feel like you want to be the bad person that doesn't. I would say he loves to fall over the ball and get ready for that. And he can be, as much as you say, yeah, he's a mean boy in there, and he wins the ball, no problem. But he's also the easiest scapegoat if you lose, because he'll have done something that frustrates you, and he loves to pass sideways. But that's just bitter me. But you know, we're definitely missing him, and we're hoping that Stanway, for example, who was at Airdrie last year, is going to, you know, from training with Ross Doherty for a few years, is able to come on and do that. And but yeah, like, I mean, I think the playoffs for us was like a shop window for teams with better wage bill, like, you know, wage bills than us, to have a great look at how good our players are and think, well, I could probably win the league with them. So kudos to Dundee United. They obviously enjoyed BBC Scotland in June.
You said you weren't going to bring up the playoffs as well, Heather, and we weren't to talk about it. But yeah, in fairness, up until the last 20 minutes, they were pretty good. The goals were flying in left, right, and centre. Yeah. So yeah,
the playoffs is like a personality trait. It's an era of my life I'm going to have to acknowledge at times.
Obviously, Andy spoke about Dundee United being there, thinking I'd be shot down. Did the rest of you see it that way? Like, do you see it as like Dundee United are the kind of clear favourites due to kind of budget, as opposed to maybe personnel on that? What do you think?
I mean, obviously we played Dundee United a couple of weekends ago. I thought it was a very different Dundee United team that played in the League Cup. You could tell that their budget and their core group of players were a standard above probably what you're going to see in the Championship more generally. I don't think many teams are going to go to Tannadice and get a result. I think they'll be very good at Tannadice. I think and if they can keep Lewis Molt fit, I think he's someone that can fire Dundee to the Championship. I don't think it's going to be as straightforward as Dundee United fans think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a slog. The Championship always is. It's about consistency of results. Can you consistently pick up points? It's not about winning every week. It's about consistently getting those draws when it should be wins and losses and vice versa. And I think Dundee United will probably just have the strength and may also have the firepower that if it's there or thereabouts in January to bring in a couple of extra faces just to seal the deal to get them back in the top league. So I was very impressed with parts of what Dundee United did against us. It's definitely the hardest game we've had in a long time. But at the same time, I was also quite pleased that it took a 97th minute World Day to get some points for them. So there's some bonuses from a Dunfermline perspective at the very least. I think Dundee United are a very good team, and they're gonna beat most teams this season.
I think most teams are going to raise their game against Dundee United. So every game will be a cup tie. When they come to Starch Park, it'll be like a cup tie. And I think from that perspective, I thought Dundee United have done the right thing in trying to sign players who can go the course in the Championship rather than going down the old adage of trying to get bigger players, if you like, or higher level Premiership players who don't know what it's like to go to places like Gayfield or go down to Ayr United and try and scrap it out. So no,
absolutely,
that's what they've done.
Yeah, the two signings from Thistle and then Grimshaw obviously coming in as well. Is that kind of thinking? And you're right, and Adam, you're right as well in terms of, I think there's probably an arrogance to a certain level of United fans where they think, you know, scoosh the league, whatever, even though we were down there for 4 years last time, there's this kind of expectation you shouldn't be dropping points at any point. But you look at it Kelly won the league with 67 points. Dundee actually won it with 63 last year. The way I always look at it is only one side has ever got 72 points, which is 2 points a week, and not won the league. So that is basically, if you're tracking at 2 points a week, that's where you've got to be going. And that's what I think United have to be looking as their kind of benchmarks about, that they will go through rough patches. In fact, John, the last side United beat four times out of four, four league games out of four, was Aberdeen, which was about 25 years ago, Phil. So in that time, we even managed to cede points to Beacon City. One of the 4 points they got was from us when we were down. So we tend to drop points to every side in the league at some point over the course of the season, but it's just about tracking it at 2 points a week is basically what gets you pretty much. If you get more than 72 points, you're likely to win. You can't control, of course, you know, if there's another side that gets a particularly high points total, but I don't see another side that's obviously going to go out there and you know, get that high points total. So that from United's point of view, that's what I think they've got to be looking to be tracking at or above 2 points a week.
Okay, anyone else want to come in before we move on to Dunfermline? Right, we'll move on. Adam, one season in League One and then back up, first time at Asking. What we're pleased with that, and then kind of a decent start to the season.
Yeah, though, obviously League One last year was probably one of the best seasons I've had as a Dunfermline fan. I mean, I've been going to East End Park since the early 90s, but I would say that's last season was definitely up there for as one of my more favourite times following Dunfermline for loads of reasons. One, there were so many exciting games. There was a huge rivalry with Falkirk. But also then I thought the connection between the players, the management and the fans was very, very tight, and not something I hadn't seen in a very long time. And, you know, one thing that Dunfermline has forgot to do is win games. So when we got relegated to League One, we deserved to be there. We got rid of this whole used to be a big club chat and just got on with just winning games. And that's what we did. You know, we had a very good season, you know. I like Airdrie. I think they're a really good team. Dunfermline finished 21 points clear of Airdrie last season. And there's been a lot of chat about Airdrie being the dark horses, but I'd just like to take a moment to remind everyone where the league table finished last season. And there isn't a huge difference between the squads. So I think Dunfermline are going to do well this season. I'm not sure 100% where we'll finish, but I think survival is the minimum. If we can get that, then it's a good season. And then I think maybe mid-table and see if we can do a push at the playoffs. But we shall see. But yeah, good start. I've taken 4 points at the beginning of the season. If someone said to me, Airdrie at home, Dundee United away, you get 4 points out of that, I'd take that.
And in terms of signings, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 new players? Well, 5.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. depends on, your, on what... Yeah, it depends what Pars fans you talk to about it. I mean, I think that, you know, we did some really good business this year at the beginning of the season. I think, you know, getting people like Kane Ritchie-Hosler, Ewan Otto, Sam Fisher on long-term deals, these are good young players who are going to, particularly once Kane Ritchie-Hosler gets back from his current injury, these guys are going to be some of the top players in the league. You then couple that during the year, we added people like Mackie Todd and Rhys Breen and Craig Whiten and Aaron Comrie all signed long-term deals with the club. So there's a real solid foundation there, and I think it was really important to bring those lone players back in. Probably the only new face, if you want to call it that, is Michael Hallan, who came in on a permanent deal. Haven't really seen enough of him yet. I think injuries will determine his success and whether he can stay injury-free. I think he's a fast player. He definitely spooked the Dundee United defenders a couple of weekends ago, but we'll see if he can be consistent. But actually, I think what's really interesting is the use of the loan market. I think we've got a young chap called Ben Summers, who's very highly rated at Celtic, who's just signed an extension before joining on loan. Got a few games under Postecoglou at Celtic at the end of last season and also went on their pre-season tour. He was on at Dundee United a couple of weekends ago and he was looking really tidy on the ball. So I'm quite interested to see how he's going to develop, even if it's just from a national team's perspective. I think he could have a good season for the Pars. So yeah, there's still time left in the window. There's budget there to be played with. I'd expect a couple more bodies to come in, but I think they have to be the right bodies for Dunfermline and the culture that James McPake and Dave McKay are building at the club.
terms of strengthening, then where do you think they'll look to strengthen?
I think we probably need a striker. I think that you need some competition. I think Craig Whiting is technically is a, he's like the lower league Dimitar Berbatov. He's got a great little touch. He can knock it off, but he's probably not the one that's maybe going to consistently score you 30 plus goals. That's going to, you need that type of striker in your team to get you up the league. So I think he probably needs a bit of competition up front. So if I was going to be picky, I'd say a striker, but I think every team in the league wants a striker. So we'll see how that goes, and maybe a wide player, left or right.
Okay. The rest of you, what do you think are Dunfermline's recruitment over the summer so far?
So we played them as the first game of the season in the League Cup, obviously. And so it was hard to gauge because obviously you're just coming straight back off pre-season, basically. I thought they were kind of lightweight, Dunfermline, actually. A lot of young guys in that team. My gut feel was, I think they won't lose a lot of games. I don't think they'll win a lot of games. I think they'll have a lot of draws this season. That was my takeaway from it. We've got them on Saturday, so we'll find out. Hopefully it's no worse than a draw for us on Saturday. But I'm surprised they didn't sign more than six players, because I think there is a step up. Even though they won the league pretty much at a canter in the end, there is a step up to the Championship. There are some real robust teams in there, like Arbroath and that. They're really wily. Even Morton, you know, that these are hard places to go to, and they won't get the luxury of playing football like they got in League One. So I was surprised they recruited so few players, but they've obviously went for quality. The caveat I'd put alongside that would probably be Michael Halloran, who was non-existent at Cove when he went on loan last year, and that was a bit of a surprise to me. But James McPake obviously thinks he can get a tune out of him. So we'll find out on Saturday how they really do against the Rovers.
Adam, did they not get a bit of a windfall with Nisbet moving on from Hibs as well? I mean, I read, I don't know how true it is, that they were going to get 35% of the profit, and like he went for like £2 million, I think, down south. So,
yeah, I mean, no one ever confirmed, but I think it is roughly something around that much. Yeah, definitely got money for Nisbet, but then, you know, players like Otto, Kane Ritchie-Hosler, Sam Fisher would have all attracted fees, having been development players at their own respective clubs. I'm sure Matty Todd's not on a small contract. He got extended for another 3-year deal. He's a top prospect. So there's a lot of young players that they put their faith in youth. I mean, we went for a couple of years ago, we on paper, when we did get relegated, we probably on paper, we had a very good team. We had a very good Championship team, but they weren't right as a squad for whatever reason. And that team fell apart, didn't help with the managers that we had at the time. And McPake's always gone for that, you know, quality over quantity. And I think we'll see how it bears out for the rest of the season. But I think, you know, Ali's probably right. I don't think many teams are going to come and turn Dunfermline over. I think teams will be great, will be happy just to get a point at East End Park. But we had that all last season in League One as well, where people were just happy for a point. I think it will suit Dunfermline, where teams will go out and attack, because Wraith won't, take Wraith as an example on Saturday, they won't be able to come to East End Park and just sit and take on and let Dunfermline attack. The fans won't allow it. That will suit Dunfermline, because Dunfermline are a very good counter-attacking team. They're very organised and good at suckering teams in and then hitting them on the counter-punch. So I think in some ways it will play to our strengths, where last season maybe breaking down teams who just sat in banks of four and fives weren't always the best teams for us in terms of getting results.
That will be a danger for us on Saturday, is that we've got a lot of attacking players, but we're not quick at the back. So the counter attack could be a real problem for us.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to go in just now? In Fairland, Katie, you would have seen a bit of him last year.
I saw him quite a few times last year, and then obviously we played him first league game of the season, and they were very lucky to get a win out of that one. A couple of dodgy penalty decisions that didn't go our way, and Callum Gallagher missing. I don't even know how he missed that sitter. That was a bit agonising for us. But I'm impressed with the way James McPake has them play. He's, obviously we went down to 10 men. Well, you guys went down to, was it 9 men one of the games last season? And we were winning, and then you just come back and won 4-3, which was just crazy. I was working that day, so I was in work getting Twitter updates which was a bit frustrating. But he's a very good manager, a really good manager, a really good man manager as well. So I think it'll be interesting. I did think they were a wee bit lightweight as well. I did think he's possibly weren't as physical as what he's were last season. I think he's well missed Todorov, which is our benefit, to be fair. Hoping for a few late goals with that guy. But it'll be interesting to see how he's got on.
Any response to that, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think Todorov's I love Mikhail Todorov, and he had a real bond with the Dunfermline fans. So, yeah, I was sad to see him go, but I think there was probably there will have been budgetary decisions made as to where the money was going to go, and I imagine, unfortunately, Todorov was probably the one that maybe lost out and probably could have. I'd have probably liked to have seen him stay, particularly with us not adding an alternative so far yet in the window. But one thing I'll say about Nikolai Todorov is he didn't score that many goals last season. I think he was in single figures. I think 7 or 8 goals. It wasn't a huge return just purely on numbers, but the importance of his goals. He scored goals to win games, to draw matches. His points per goal ratio was probably one of the best I'd imagined in our squads last season. So no, he's a good player, and if the fans get behind him. And he feels that he feeds off the fans. If the fans get on his back, he'll go down. But if he feels the love from the fans, so to speak, he'll be right up for it. And yeah, he's a really good signing for you guys. I'm glad
they love him. They absolutely love him just now.
I bet you did.
and he's happily played, and the fans love him just now. So it'll be good. But I will see.
Right, we'll move on to Robert Morton. So. UK Imre doing a good job at Morton, I think, because last year a lot of people were tipping Morton to struggle. They weren't far off the playoffs. I think you've recruited pretty well when you look at who you brought in. Power from Kilmarnock, get Waters, who was obviously on loan, permanent deal, experienced keeper McDonald as well. Boyd, Kirk Broadfoot, I don't know if Kirk Broadfoot still got it, but maybe at Championship would be all right.
There were at times. On Saturday at Ibrox, where Big Kirk had the cigars out. Honestly, he strolled through that game, although he gave away the penalty. It's that thing where it's a corner and there's a bit of shirt pulling. If referees or if VAR kind of looked at every single incident and that, there'd be 4 and 5 penalties a game. I think we were really unlucky to have a penalty given against us for that. I'm not saying it wasn't a penalty because he's tugging his shirt, but the fact that VAR pointed that out, and it's something that goes on at pretty much every single corner and every single football match.
The biggest shock is that Morton got a penalty at the other end, never mind.
I know.
Kirk was in the papers
saying that as soon as the penalty got awarded, they knew that they were going to get one at the other end.
I mean, we'll talk a wee bit more about the signings, but in terms of what that game meant on Saturday, I was reading something on Twitter earlier, so you got 82,000 just from like probably being on TV and being around, and then 40% of the gate. So folk were kind of thinking, estimating about £300,000 they made from that game, and Morton's annual budget's about £500,000.
Aye, that's a huge sum for us. When you take that and the Celtic game in January into account, that's doubled our budget for the year. As a fan-owned club who rely on contributions monthly, for fans, £500,000 in a year makes a huge difference to us. We've recruited well. The players you've mentioned brought in a bit of Premier League experience, and I think we lacked a bit of experience last year. We drew a lot of games that if we'd won one or two of those, we were up second or third in the league last year, and I think having that experience this year will see us in good stead. But although we've recruited well, we've probably got the smallest squad in the Championship. Even at Ibrox on Saturday, we only had 3 outfield players on the bench because we've got a couple of injuries at the moment. We desperately need a right back. We don't have a right back. We're playing midfielders at right back. And we were playing Lewis McGrattan, who's a right winger at right back, the other week. We probably need a new another striker. Although I love George Oakley and I adore Robbie Muirhead, he'll get you a goal for you anywhere on the park. Neither of them's prolific, and we probably need somebody who is going to come in and score 15 to 20 a season. I think you'd be lucky if you get 10, 12 for both of them. So I think those are probably the two areas that we do need to strengthen. We really, really need a right back, and I'd like to see another striker coming in. And hopefully this money for that tie on Saturday will enable us to go out there and do that.
I think someone touched on it earlier about everyone would love a striker, but last year in the Championship there wasn't many kind of great strikers in terms of goal returns. But Simon Murray, 15, but he obviously went to Ross County in January, and obviously you had Akin Fenwa. Apart from that, I think you had
Ryan Graham. You have to give him credit for what he is, but no. And then we had Anton Downs, who had at one point the better goal to minutes ratio than Haaland for a very short amount of time, and then that quickly died. But yeah, RIP Anton Downs.
it is a tricky one trying to get that. But I think you have recruited well, looking at things so far. What did the rest of you guys think about Morton's recruitment so far?
Well, we played Morton a couple of weekends ago when we were fortunate to get out a 3-2 win in the end. It was a really dogged game. It was a right scrap actually at Starks Park. We got a fortunate penalty early on, very fortunate penalty early on. But we missed one late on, which I thought was a stonewaller. Morton were doing the right thing. They're working to their budget. Dougie Emery seems to get the best out of players that maybe others haven't been able to get the best out of. I take Grant Gillespie as an example. He was with Wraith a few seasons ago, and I never seen him stepping back up into the Championship again after he left us. And he did a great job for his last year, and he seems to be a pretty decent player in the middle of the park for you guys. It's just numbers for you. I think it's a numbers problem you've got in the squad. You've just not got. There's every person is pretty much guaranteed their game because they've not got anybody to rotate it with. And injuries and suspensions will kick in, it'll be a problem. So I suspect they will have to dip in. And Dougie will do a good job of getting players in that will maybe unfancied type players at other clubs, and it'll bring them in and do a good job.
Aye, I think that's one of Dougie's strengths is his man management. I think him and Andy Mullen are a double act. I think Andy does most of the coaching and Dougie does most of the man management. And he's fostered an amazing team spirit. At Capello, the boys all talk about it. When you see them talking on social media or whatever, they all big up the team spirit and they all give the credit for that to Dougie. And you're right, he does seem to get a tune out of players that have got something to prove. And I think making Grant Gillespie your captain was probably a masterstroke. Giving him that wee bit of responsibility has maybe made him step up. I think across your midfield four, or starting midfield four, is one of the best in the league. Robbie Crawford, Grant Gillespie, Cammy Blues, and Alan Power. I think that's one of the best midfields in the league. We're light at the back. Big Kirk was obviously brought in as kind of cover. But the injury to Jack Baird has forced him to be included in the squad. Bairdie was on the bench on Saturday, so hopefully he's close to coming back because we've missed him. He's a big no-nonsense centre-half. And we've conceded goals in the last couple of weeks that we probably wouldn't have if Big Jack was playing, I think. So I think if we can get a right-back and get Big Bairdie back, have a settled back four, that midfield, we've got a really good midfield and we've got a bit of cover across the midfield now as well, re-signing Ian Wilson on loan. We've got young boys.
If Ian Wilson can stay fit, that's the problem with me.
That's the thing. But I think if he's no playing every week, hopefully he's less likely to be injury prone. By the young boys we've got in midfield as well, Lewis McGrattan and Alex King, the both of them look like really good prospects. And Dougie seems to trust them to come on to change games towards the end of last season. And kind of, but wee Lewis has been getting a wee bit of a run. The start of the season, I think this is a really big season for him. This will be his kind of make or break season. But he looks like a player. He looks like a player.
Do you think Lewis Strapp will eventually sign back on at Morton? Do you think he's got aspirations elsewhere?
So obviously the rumour mill and fan chatter and all that sort of stuff, and him and Dougie don't see eye to eye. And that was it. The rumour I've heard, I don't know whether there's any truth in this or no, but Dougie kind of sees him as quite entitled. And didn't fancy him. I thought Strappy was a great wee player. I'm very, very surprised that he didn't move up after he left us to the lower end of the Premiership. I think he was good enough to take that step. And obviously, I think he's still injured. And that stopped clubs taking a chance on him. But I think at some point he will make that step.
Yeah.
Anyone else get any thoughts about Morton in terms of recruitment or anything else otherwise? Right, we'll move on. Partick Thistle. Heather, as you said, June seemed like a scouting mission for a lot of managers elsewhere in terms of kind of players that you kind of lost. What about the kind of players that you brought in? So I would say, again, kind of pretty good recruitment, but you're having to rely on the loan market a lot because of the financial situation at Partick Thistle.
Yeah, definitely. I think genuinely one of the best things that we've done is extending Fitzpatrick's stay at the club. Fitzy, I mean, he played extremely well at the tail end of last season. He obviously was with us in our academy all the way through, went to England on loan, went to England, got a great deal down there at Norwich, then didn't quite work out, came back, I think he was at Queen of the South, but was always desperate. I mean, he played with Chris Doolin when he was very young, and he's got a good relationship there. So we've got Fitzy for 3 more years, which I think if he gets back to the heights that he was at the end of last season, even if he's not a Thistle player by the end of those 3 years, I think we could get some tidy business there. But he's great, and he just, I mean, he lives and breathes Thistle. So I genuinely think if even with the list of signings that we've had, I do think that getting Fitzy with us for longer is probably the best thing we've done. But you're totally right. We've talked about the fact that we lost Ross Doherty. Kyle Turner obviously has gone and done really well against Ross County so well already. And then Kevin Holt and Tiff, you know, at Dundee. So it's tough shoes to fill. And I've actually just finished recording the Partick Thistle podcast about an hour ago. And we were talking about the fact that as much as we've brought in these signings, I don't think anyone's actually filled anyone's boots yet, but time will tell. I think obviously we've got Lewis Nielsen on loan from Hearts, and I'm really excited to see him. I know he did well against with Dundee United, and we haven't had him start yet. He obviously couldn't play in our game at Tynecastle on Sunday, which was just, I mean, I had a great day out, but less said the better. So I think Lewis Nielsen looks great, and looking forward to getting him in there. We've signed a guy called Wasiri Williams, and the fans loved him up until he started playing. And I think the jury's still out on him right now. He seems like a lovely guy and really relatable, and I think he's enjoying Glasgow and everything, but just not quite sure the football's there yet. But we'll, you know what, we'll have a tryer. Kerr McEnroy, a great signing. I think we want him to stay fit, and I think we need to try and stop replacing players that we got rid of and find a way of playing. But do like him. Ben Williamson from Rangers, he's just a spice boy, but he's there's definitely a player in him. He's not. We needed someone to come in and be a tough nut in the middle of the park, and he's just too pretty for that, in my opinion. But I think that we'll find a place for him. Tommy Adeloy was at Ayr, and then we got him back on loan from a club down south. We've not given him enough time yet, but I just don't think there's been anywhere. Scott Robinson has posted missing. He's just not been fit since he's come in, but I think there's definitely a player in him if we can get him fit. And then we've got a few other young boys coming in, but the signing that I'm really not falling in love with at all is Blair Alston. He just has been, I mean, maybe unfortunate for him, but he just seems a bit off the pace, and we've conceded every time that he's come on. And I know we haven't played a lot yet this season, but I think obviously he's a name and he kind of seems like the kind of person that would be a seasoned pro, someone to depend on to kind of shut up shop. And, you know, it just hasn't been the case. And we've brought him on instead of people like Ben Stanway and James Lyon, who are two of our very young boys. We've brought him on, I think, for his experience. And I don't think he's looked the player that he maybe was in the past. But I think the jury's out on a lot of our new signings, but I don't think we're worrying too much yet. I think it's going to take a bit of time for this squad to mesh together. And I do think that Nielsen will be starting and Wasiri will be on the bench on Saturday against Queen's Park. But it's been a tough, I feel like we've hardly been off. I'm already back and it's been tough scenes. But I'm a massive Chris Doolin stan. He, you know, when someone plays for your club for 10 years, scores 121 goals, is just the loveliest professional and excellent man. You can't not love him, but I do think that this is going to be a tough season ahead if we're going to continue playing the way that we have to start with.
I'm getting flashbacks to last year when you were mentioning about Williamson being a kind of pretty boy, because last year we had Vinny and Ethan, who's a Dundee fan, on, and I didn't realise. And they were talking about Tom Lang, that used to be at Raith Rovers, and how pretty he was. So who's the prettiest player in the league now?
It's called me a Rovers.
Oh, definitely Craig Watson. Has to be Craig Watson.
Brian Graham is stunning. Like, see up close, he's stunning. And he's the media darling. The BBC loved him during the playoffs, but I'm very biased.
Okay. As the kind of football side of things, you're not impressed with Olsen. What's the deal with Robertson? Is he fit? Because he kind of tends to get injured a lot.
No, he's not fit right now. I think it's been a back injury. And he's been great. He's been lovely with the fans. Met him at the open day. Great guy. But I think getting him fit and getting him in the number 10 role is going to be essential for us going forward. He kind of had said to us that he's going to be back for Airdrie, but that wasn't the case. So it just keeps on getting pushed back a little bit. But looking forward to Kermackinaw. I think he'll be a good signing for us.
Heather, were you surprised at the calibre of signings you've made in comparison to the sort of alarm bells that were coming out at the end of the season? Because a lot of these are recognised names that you've signed, and they're good quality. It's probably a step up from the levels I thought you might be shopping at the end of the last season.
Uh-huh. So obviously I'm a Jags Foundation director. Obviously we've become a fan-owned club, and things have happened in our club off the pitch a lot recently. And I think that the new board have had to cleverly budget, but I don't think our season tickets, we've sold an incredible amount of season tickets, which is extremely helpful for the budget. And I think also that there's been some strategic things there. So yeah, no, I think definitely there was a, as I've said, so Xander McKenzie, Ben Stanway and James Lyon, they are kind of being depended on more, and they're all academy players. So I do think that we are going to see a bit more of that. But yes, we have managed to do some clever loan deals, etc., which obviously loan deals are helpful because you're not paying everything.
Yeah.
I think we still are going to be, I mean, I think this, the hope from the board was the fact that we were still going to be competitive in the league. I think it's just being a bit more careful with other things.
Yeah.
Andy, you wanted to come in as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I was just, again, without wanting to bring up Dingwall, obviously last season when it was a shame because I've never seen a team panic so much when County got the first goal back, the second goal, like straight from centre. It was sheer panic at the lead going. And I'm just wondering, the first two games of the season, Thistle have effectively thrown away 5 points because Raith Rovers, what, they were two up with 5-10 minutes to go. Airdrie, they were in the lead with half an hour to go. Do you think that's a bit of kind of residual kind of mental scar tissue, or is it just coincidence that they've thrown away, you know, good positions in both of those games?
Genuinely the same question that Tom English asked me on Sports Sound, but like not in a bad way, but just I think a lot of people who aren't Thistle fans will look at it that way and see the connection, and I totally understand it. I do think that, I mean, you have to remember that quite a lot of that squad have gone, and we are new in that case. I think Thistle have always had, and when we were even in the Premier League, we had this incredible talent of getting to the 80th minute of games and throwing things away. You know, I think we had the highest score, like goals scored against record at a certain point. So I think obviously, I mean, people like Brian Graham and Stevie Lawless, they are tried professionals that can't still be, like, you can't be a professional footballer and let something that happened that long ago affect you. But no, I think, yes, it's extremely frustrating, don't get me wrong, but I do think that some of the thing that the reason that we've lost those last two games, I mean, Raith Rovers, Doolin put his hand up, he got the subs completely wrong. And I think for Airdrie, we just didn't turn up. We didn't even deserve to be one goal up. I also think Airdrie definitely scored in the first like 20 minutes and it wasn't given. But yeah. I mean, from our angle, I was like, that's a goal. Like, but anyway, but I do think that, I think for people who are not in the circle, it probably looks like a personality trait that we're inheriting. But I think it's just been some poor decisions at a certain time that it kind of correlated at the same time. But you know, like life as a Thistle fan is just, I mean, I think many of us on a Championship side can say that. You take the highs and you have to take the lows, and it's just the enjoyment of Scottish football. And I don't know why anyone can't love it, because it's just so fun. But yeah.
Yeah, who wants to be in the Premiership anyway, yeah?
Well, don't. see, the game, the Ross County Celtic game was on in the just before our first league game, and we were watching it, and obviously Ross County were getting hoofed by Celtic, and we were watching it, being like, well, that would have been us. So it's actually quite nice. But then, you know, you hear the list of signings that apparently we were going to make if we just shut up shop before those 20 minutes, and it's quite, you know, when you read down our list, agree that we've done good work, but who we could have had, you think, oh, that would have been
who could you have had?
Littlefield. But I actually would say, since we've got a Morton fan on, one of our best signings has been our CEO, Chris Ross. Lovely, lovely guy. And I think going to take our fan-owned club into new territory and come across brilliantly, really engaging with the fans. So, classic. A team that's not doing very well, you just have to praise what's going on off the pitch.
Right, anyone else before we move on to Raith Rovers? Not all good. Right, okay, Ali, fair bit of recruitment over the summer. Pleased with what's going on?
Yeah, we did a complete overhaul over the summer. Obviously, the club's changed ownership over the summer. It was a long, mooted deal that was going to happen. And we've got brand new board members, a few existing board members that stayed behind, but new investment in the club. We've recruited pretty well overall. Ian Murray's on record as saying that he's pretty much got every player that he was after. And we brought in 9 players. Dabrowski came in goals from Hibs. He's definitely one for the fans. In fact, he definitely wants to play to the fans. And some people have got doubts about him on the cross ball. I'll certainly say that. He certainly looks like he wants to stick on his line. But a good shot stopper. We've recruited well. We've got a couple of centre-halves in, which were badly needed. We've brought in Keith Watson from Ross County and brought in Ewan Murray, came in from Hartlepool. Ewan Murray had been with us a few years ago. Fortunately, left to go to Dunfermline and then on to Kilmarnock. He's come back. The two of them are starting to get a pairing together, but the biggest trouble we've got, those two, there's no real pace between the two of them, with Keith Watson and Ewan Murray. Callum Smith's come in, and he's been, as I mentioned previously, he's been a real bright spark. Surprised a lot of people, actually. He's a better player than I thought he was. He's done well. He's got 3 goals in the last 4 games. Josh Mullin came in. He's got a 3-year deal. Josh Mullin's 30-year-old. I was surprised at that one. Josh is a good player. He's not a winger, but he's a good wide player who delivers the ball. And we're seeing that from his set-piece delivery. So he's going to chip in with goals and assists, I think. Brought in Dylan Corr, who's a 19-year-old centre-half from Celtic B. He's a big lad for being 19. Whether he'll get his game in front of Murray and Watson, I doubt. But given that, you know, Keith Watson is not a 36 games type of player, I think there will be cover there. I think he will play a bit. We brought in a striker, which is an unknown quantity in the Championship. Loads of clubs are looking for a striker. But we got Jack Hamilton on a 3-year deal. That was a solid piece of business. And I think it was a 3-year deal that probably solidified that one for us. He's not yet been up to speed. He missed quite a bit of pre-season. So he's just coming up to fitness, I would say. But I think he'll be a big player. He's a boy that can get in the right areas. And if we've got the wide deliveries right, I think he'll score a barrel load. That's the plan. And then the final boy that's just came in last week was Sean Byrne. So we've missed a player in the middle of the park who can do dirty work, and Sean Byrne does dirty work. And I think he's going to be a good addition to the centre of the midfield. So Murray's done well so far. I think he's still out there looking for maybe one more. I think we're kind of light at the fullback area for cover at the moment, both right and left. I think we've got 24 signed players. I think if we could maybe get one, I think we'd be in really good shape. We are in a far better position than we've been for a few years now. The fact that we even had a full bench is a massive step forward from where we were at the tail end of last season. So pretty optimistic so far. I like what I've seen. I think once the team gels, I think we'll be pretty effective. We've not hit the heights yet. So a little bit of expectations on this team because I think we've recruited well. We just need to turn it into results, I think.
Adam, would you like to get Murray back? We'll say it in Fermanagh was very good.
Ian Murray was very good. I would have liked to... They say you probably never want a player to come back. It's always, you know, what version are you going to get of the player when he does come back? But I think for Wraith, it was a great signing. I think our back line that we have, I wouldn't want to change, and I wouldn't have had Ewan Murray and over any of the players that we have at centre back. But certainly, if I didn't have those players, then yeah, having Ewan Murray back is definitely a good signing for Wraith. I think they signed really well, and it's good to see kind of Wraith's mojo back a little bit. I think they were kind of particularly after some of the unpleasantness over the past few seasons, they seem to kind of be trundling along, and now they seem to have kind of rejuvenated a little bit. So I think a competitive Wraith and a competitive Dunfermline team is a good thing for the league, because that will bring a good derby experience. And I'm personally, I hope both teams are there or thereabouts and competing so that these games matter. Because I think it's important for the overall league as well to have these big derbies in there. But I think Wraith have recruited really well on paper, and we played them in the League Cup. I thought they were good. I don't necessarily agree with Ali that they were necessarily the better team. I think they had phases where they were the better team. First game of the season away from home. I don't know. We'll see how. I think Saturday's going to be a really interesting game and see where the teams are. But yeah, I think if I was a Wraith fan, I'd be very pleased from where you started the window to where it is now.
And then Katie, obviously Ian Murray was at Airdrie before. What do you make of him as a manager?
Oh, I thought he was a brilliant manager. At the start, obviously, when he didn't have his own players in, it was a bit frustrating. But see, once he got his own players in, and he was a bit like Reece McCabe. He stuck to his game plan. I do think he was a great manager. I said that to, I know, a couple of Wraith fans, and when he went there, they're saying with the first couple of games, he was a bit ropey. And I said, trust me, he will come good. He's a really good manager. And is he get Colin Cameron as well as his assistant?
Mickey Cameron's assistant, yeah.
They were a great pairing together. I think Aggie was a great assistant as well. Obviously, he was still playing when he was with us. But I'm very jealous that he's got Callum Smith. And I think with Jack Hamilton, I just think he'll deliver some great balls into him.
That's the plan. That's the idea. Yeah. I think,
and with Dylan Easton as well. I mean, that they were just a great pairing together.
Yeah. So Dylan was suspended yesterday for the game against Hibs, but he's had a pretty decent start to the season. Dylan, bit of a Maverick player.
He's either brilliant or he'll frustrate the life out of you.
Absolutely. Sometimes he just does too much on the ball.
Towards the end of his career with Airdrie, it was like one of the ones. He just got too frustrating for me. I was like, I always would have signed him when he was at Forth, and I always thought, what a great, I'd love to sign him. And when we did, I thought, what a great player, what a great signing. But towards the end of the season, he was really annoying me. I was like, could you not just go
do
direct,
the easy thing.
Stop trying to beat 15 players and then go back on yourself? We can't seem to do that quite a lot, but I think him partnered back up with Callum Smith and then Jack Hamilton up front, Yusuf, I think you guys will be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said about Ewan Murray. I said, about Ewan Murray, sorry, manager. At the beginning of this last season, we thought probably it would be a season of consolidation. That was kind of the message, till Ewan Murray gets his team together. Well, now he's got, every said he's got every player that he wanted to sign, he's managed to get them in. So this is, he's now, but there's a little bit of pressure on him. It was really unexpected that he got an interview at Dundee during the season.
That was
out of left field for us altogether, because I hadn't seen enough to see why he would get that interview chance. Rovers gave him the chance to go and speak to Dundee, and you know, he never got the role and came back. But I think there's a little bit of pressure on him this season. He's recruited well. I think a wee bit of frustration with him is that if things aren't going to plan, I think your tactics go to pot, because he just starts to load the forward line. He just starts chucking forwards on. And that is a frustrating tactic for me. The rest of it just looks completely shapeless. So I'd rather be stuck to a proper game plan and just tinkered it, rather than just going gung-ho and just loading up the forward line. But I've not seen it really work yet, to be perfectly honest, with that loading up the forwards.
Don't knock it, because look at us against Montrose, where he went with six strikers or something, and took it to extra time, and we went through last season. So,
there is evidence that it does work, right?
Well, it does work sometimes, aye. Because that playoff game, I was sitting there thinking, that's it, another playoff, another one, that's us gone. And the next thing, he just started firing on strikers, and at one point, we did have six strikers on the park. And
that just sounds like Ian Murray. It was even a concern to me yesterday when we were chasing the game against Hibs. But if we had equalised, I had no idea what formation we were going to play if we went to extra time. I think it was just going to be an absolute tombola out there to see who was going to be playing where, especially when Dick got sent off at left back as well. So that's one of the side downsides of Ian Murray. But I do think he's a good manager. I really like his. His honesty at the post-match interviews. He seems to see the same thing as the fans see, which is, you know, he's no bullshitting you and he's no telling you stories. He does seem to see it as he sees it. So I think that's really pleasing.
He's a lovely guy as well. He's really good with the fans. He was really good, like, chatting to fans and chatting to the kids and stuff like that. He'd always take time to speak to the kids when he was with us. And I think you're right, he's dead honest. If he thinks the team's played shite, he'll not say the team's played shite, but he'll say it in a nice way.
Like the game against Morton there, he did say he just didn't enjoy the game against Morton. He just was not a game he enjoyed at all, and he was delighted to get 3 points, but it's not how he wanted to play. And the fans felt the same. He was, you know, we were happy we'd got the 3 points, but we hadn't really enjoyed it up until we'd won.
I think I was through in Kirkcaldy for the Morton Wraith game, and I think the referee has to take a lot of responsibility for how that game played out. I think there was 21 fouls over the 90 minutes, and there was 14 bookings. The referee seemed to want to stop the game at every opportunity.
It did seem to be a gang fight that whole game. That's how it felt. But
I've spoke to race fans I know who can have it felt like a dirty, but 21 fouls in 90 minutes doesn't suggest it's a dirty game. Do you know what I mean?
I agree with that.
It just felt stop start, and I kind of felt that the referee played a part in that. I was really surprised when I found out it was a FIFA listed referee. I thought it was somebody for the lower leagues who'd been promoted because of that.
Thought he pulled him out of the crowd. I know, I was definitely a genuine referee.
Ali, just quickly before I think Heather's got a question, but the key thing I think for Wraith as well would be if you can keep Lewis Vaughan fit, because they must be the unluckiest player in Scottish football.
Yeah, every Rovers fan's got 100% devotion for Lewis Vaughan. And every time he gets a knock or anybody kicks him, he wins. You don't know what's going to happen. But he's come back, he's strong. He's lost a yard of pace, I will say. I don't think he's as quick a player as he once was. And that's probably going to be to his detriment now, is my gut feel. I mean, I think he's had 3 assists in the last couple of games or few games. So he's definitely contributing. But I'm not sure we're going to see the same Lewis Vaughan as we once had, is my feeling. Which would be quite sad because he was a top talent. He really is a top talent and he's a top lad as well. So Murray seems to really like Lewis Vaughan. My own feeling is that Lewis Vaughan might drop out of the starting 11 when everybody's fit, because we've still got Aidan Connolly to come back, who we've not seen this season at all, and he was our top scorer last year, actually, which is a sad indictment of the rest of the team, to be honest. Sam Stanton's really good, particularly good in the number 10 role, and you've got Dylan Easton there, and you've got Ethan Ross as well, and then Callum Smith is really surprised a lot of people. So I think Vonnie's starting 11 places, and I've not even mentioned Jamie Gullen. I think Vonnie's place might be under threat in the first 11.
Maybe, like, you know how Guardiola wants to play a team of midfielders, maybe Murray's just thinking of playing a team of strikers.
Murray just loves an attacking midfielder. Loves an attacking midfielder. And I think that's what goosed us against Paddock Thistle, because he really wants to set up in this sort of 4-1-3-1 formation, is it? 4-1-3-2 it'll be. And the holding midfielder on his own has just got too much ground to cover, and that's what caught us out against Partick Thistle. They just overran us.
Sean Byrne might help there. I think Sean Byrne's a really good signing. I mean, there was a rumour that there might have been a swap deal between the Dundee clubs, with Craig Sibbald wanting to stay in the top fight and go to Dundee and Byrne come in, and that didn't transpire. Mm. I mean, I was pleased because I wanted to keep hold of Sibbald. I think he's a good player, but I actually would have been pretty happy with Sean Byrne coming in. And from the outside looking in, I think Rafe's recruitment on paper, to me certainly, has been the best of any of the other sides in the Championship. I think it's a real, you know, strong group of signings that have come in, and I expect Rafe to be in the top four by the end of the season.
Right, Heather, you wanted to come in?
Yeah, well, I was going to, similar to that, I just feel, I mean, I think a lot of people have seen the great stuff that Rafe have done in the summer. And you do think that there may be like the team to, you know, the team that a lot of people are backing, and they've been quite not a flip flop team, but I found them infuriating to play at some. You know, we'd win 3-0 at home, but then couldn't get a win, and this, and you know, and we had a very tough scene there 2-2 just before the playoffs, which, you know, we were second place, fifth place, fourth place all in one night, which was wild. But do you think there's a bit of pressure there now that you are seen as a contending team for that? Like, I think people are almost assuming that you'll be in that top four, which maybe Rafe haven't been in the last wee while. Do you think there's pressure there?
There probably is a bit of pressure. I do think there is an expectancy even within that we'll be in the top four, because I think we have recruited well. And just looking around the Championship, my own feeling is that the Championship is much of a muchness. There is a lot of teams that can beat each other on their day, and it's just getting that run of consistency that takes you away from the pack. Like Andy mentioned before about Dundee winning the league. Didn't they run away with that league at all last year? In fact, they really...
That's why their manager got sacked.
And there you go. And then they really toiled in a lot of games. And I think you might see that again with the champions who win it this year. I think it'll be pretty close in the end. Like, unfortunately for Andy, I don't think Dundee United will run away with it. But I do think there's a bit of pressure on Wraith. I think if we can... Although we've done well in the forward areas, I've still got suspicions about the back line just not being quick enough. That's the biggest problem I think we're going to have.
Right, we'll move on to predictions just now. So I'll get predictions from yourselves, and then we'll maybe very briefly discuss who else you think could be involved up near the top, whatever. Katie, where do you think Airdrie will finish? An actual position?
Personally, I think I'd take 7th right now. I'd take 8th right now. I think we'll be kind of 7th or 8th. I think that's a real fault. Real kind of, I think we're not there to make up the numbers, but I don't think we're quite there to get to a playoff this season.
Okay, so say 7th. We'll go 7th. Talk to us.
We'll go 7th. Aye, I'll go 7th.
Aye. Right, God, there was some right. Who would you take for winning the league?
I actually do think Wraith might do it, believe it or not. I think it might be Wraith.
Okay. And who's getting relegated?
As much as I hate to say it, because I do have a wee soft spot for them, I think it's going to be a Broth.
Okay. Right, okay. I think that might end up being a popular choice.
Aye.
Andy, I think I know what your answer is for who's where you'll finish, but I'll ask you anyway.
I don't think United are going to walk this league by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I really do think, you know, it will be quite tight, and we're in a position where we're favourites with the bookies to win the league, but Goodwin's also the favourite to be the first manager sacked, because if he has no credit in the bank. Heather was talking about, you know, Doolin's very popular, lots of credit in the bank. I think if there's any kind of sticky spells for a lot of managers, then they will get time. If Goodwin loses 3 games in a row, then, you know, he could be sacked by the end of September type thing. So that is a real difficulty for him to have to manage. And with, you know, United had 9,000 at the game against Dunfermline, there's going to be big expectancy from the supporters. I think United will win the league, but I don't think that they're going to run away with it by any stretch of the imagination.
Are you okay? And who's getting relegated?
I think our Broth. I think it's, yeah, they've had a really poor start, not only against us, but the double header with Queen's Park.
Right, okay. Adam, who do you think Dunfermline will finish in the league? Who do you think?
My heart says fourth, but I think my head's going to go and say fifth. I think we'll finish in the table.
Outside the playoffs, right, okay.
Yeah.
And what about relegation?
I think it has, at this moment, it has to be a Broth. I think they've had their run. They'll need to regroup in League One next year.
And who's winning the league?
I think Dundee United will win the league.
Okay. Hey, Robert, what about yourself? Who do you want to finish in the league?
I think we've got aim to go one better than last year. I think we'll finish fourth. I think we will make the playoffs this year. We're a dogged, consistent team who grind out results. We don't lose at Capello, and we pick up the odd point here and there away from home. So I think fourth is realistic for us this year.
Right, okay. And then winners and relegation.
Winners, I kind of hate to say it, but I think maybe Queen's Park this year. I'm not a big fan of teams coming into a championship and throwing money about.
Did you see their 16-year-old keeper against our Broth?
I saw that, and I've seen Queen's Park fans talking about how this boy, and fans of other clubs actually on Twitter talking about how this young guy has got some future in Headingham.
No, but did you see his kind of his twirl against our Broth?
No, I didn't see it.
Have a little look at that. I mean, he gets away with one, put it that way.
I think because all the attention will be on Dundee United this year, I think they might kind of sneak under the radar a wee bit, and I think Queen's Park might win it.
Okay, and what about relegation? Is it?
I think their kind of countdown clock has run out. They've done well to stay in the Championship last season, but I think it's kind of came to an end for them now.
Okay, I'll look forward to the end of the season when I can review this, because I've got it all noted down. Andy will know from last season I had everyone toast in the Premiership one. Heather, Partick Thistle, what do you think in terms of this season? Can they go one better than last year? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess the hope is playoffs as well, and it just sounds like we're going to have a lot of teams in this good old playoff. I double checked what I put on our wee group chat of Thistle fans who all put, and I was like, well, I can't really say, but so I put Thistle as fourth, but it sounds like a lot of us want to come fourth, so it's going to be goal difference. But I mean, Chris Dillon said, you know, no team has finished fourth and won, and they still haven't, but we were very, very close to it. But we've come fourth the last two seasons, and you almost look at if we don't come fourth or above, like this time, is it a failure? I know we've lost a lot and everything, but I think you have to aim for playoffs.
I think majority of teams will probably be aiming for the playoffs when it's as tight as it is in the Championship. What about winners and relegation for yourself? What do you think?
I'm very similar to the very similar. I think Dundee United. I think that the showing that they had against, I know it was a very struggling Arbroath team, but they played so well in that Friday night game and just showed that they were there for business. I do also think that Kevin Holt and Ross Docherty won't want to let something like that slip again. I think they want a medal. So I just hope you don't have to take penalties, because Ross Docherty's penalty taking is a hangable offence. But I do think that I think Arbroath are gone. And as much as Dick Campbell is this personality, I think they've run their course, and I think it's time.
But I've lost to go. Right, okay. Ali, there's been a bit of pressure, like folks saying you're going to win the league and all sorts of playoffs. What do you think you'll finish?
I would say save your money, guys. I wouldn't put the money on Rovers to win the league. I'd say Rovers will be fourth, like most teams. Maybe we're all just saying, didn't want to be too optimistic, but yeah, fourth would still be a decent season, I think, for us. But I think there's going to be a lot of teams in and around that playoff. As I said, I think the league, it's a dog-eat-dog league. Most of the teams can beat each other on their day, so I think we'll be fourth. I think the winners will be Dundee United. I think they will just have too much strength. And I think they'll pip Queen's Park. I think Queen's Park, we're a bit of an unknown quantity, Queen's Park this year. Didn't really know what they were going to do with change of manager coming in, the whole stadium palaver that's going on there. But I still think they'll be pretty strong, actually, Queen's Park, surprisingly.
And then down the bottom end, relegation.
It's unfortunately, I think Dick Campbell's time's up. I think this might be the last season we see Dick Campbell, actually.
Yeah, okay. Very, very briefly, obviously, Queen's Park, we mentioned a couple of times in terms of maybe kind of doing all right. AR, would we expect AR up there challenging again in the playoffs?
We played them the opening day of the season, and they looked a shadow of the team that they were last season. We kind of bossed the entire game, and although they went 1-0 up, our response to that kind of just blew them away. I see them being mid-table. I don't see them being up and about the playoffs the same as last year. I think they had a really, really good season last year, and I don't see them repeating it.
I think also there, they kind of fell into second place because of other things that happened that like last few weekends of the season, and with other teams not performing, us drawing against Wraith, like a lot of things helped them come second, and obviously they obviously got money for it. But I actually think that one of the worst things for them was coming second, because I think Ayr are a team that that like Thistle need a run, and I think them getting that break between the two, you know, I actually think coming second in the championship's a tough one, because you don't get the third v fourth game and the momentum that carries. I know that doesn't always work, but I do think, you know, there's a reason for the reason why that's, you know, some teams have done better in the, you know, in the third v fourth, you know, that they've gone on. But I we've not seen Ayr yet, and we've got quite a fun relationship, everyone. But I think that I agree with you. I don't know if they'll be in the same place, but I do think that them coming second was definitely a punch above the weight. I think they're a great season, but I don't think they, you know, everyone lost to everyone last season as well. So I think it was just the way it all worked out for them.
Yeah, I think they'll be hot and cold. Ayr. And Rovers didn't do particularly well doing it Ayr again, so they'll probably get points off us down there.
And then the other team that's not been mentioned is Inverness. Poor start to the season. I don't know what you guys think in terms of they've lost kind of some key players as well.
Well, they're guaranteed points off Rovers. We haven't beaten them for 20 years. So surely the hoodoo has to break this year. I mean, Inverness are no longer the team that they were, I don't think. They haven't particularly recruited that well. They do rely on their academy, seems to be. I'm not quite sure what the calibre of their academy is. I think they'll struggle. I think they're going to struggle this year. I see them as bottom half rather than top half.
They seem to be a team that gets consistently worse every season as well. It just seems to be like a gradual decline. It's not anything, they don't fall off the face of the earth. They're just that one wee little bit worse than they were the previous season, and it just carries on and on. And I think, you know, if I think the cup run last year for them probably, well, at least from a distance when looking in, masked a few sins for Cali. And I think Billy Dodds is probably on borrowed time, which is crazy to think considering he took them to a cup final not so long ago.
And he signed a new deal.
I think, and as well, I think what's interesting now in football, and I think the Highland teams are going to struggle, I think, more generally, because recruiting players is going to be such a struggle. If you're, you know, in days gone by when you could maybe move your entire family up to Inverness because there was employment and everything else, but if there's not, and then there's travel and everything else around that, I think it's going to be difficult for Inverness to carry on. I think they, if they don't get their act together, they'll be there or thereabouts at the bottom part of the table alongside Arbroath. I'd be quite worried if I was a Cali fan. Saying that, they've only got a terrible record at Cali as well, as we have at Morton. So I'm sure those words will come back to bite me.
It's usually four draws a season we was in the film.
Yes, yeah, we just a draw it after going to play Morton again, please.
We tend to do quite well against Cali. Even up there, we've had a few results over the last few years. But I agree. I can see Cali being in the playoffs at the bottom this season, and I agree with what you were saying. It seems to be just this slow, gradual decline since they came down for the Premiership. I don't know if it's because the owner isn't putting in the funds that he was when they initially went up. But I think they don't have the problems to seek.
I think losing Robbie Dees to Kelly is a big one for them at the back, and then to a lesser extent Scott Allardyce, and it doesn't seem as if, from looking in, that they've recruited, you know, players that are certainly on paper likely to help them.
Doesn't seem a particularly happy place at the moment, actually. You just hear about all the off-the-field rumblings all the time. Fans are not that well connected to what's going on. So they've definitely not got the problems to seek there, as you mentioned.
Right, okay, we've maybe kind of mentioned some of these players probably when you've been talking about signings or whatever, or even existing players, but breakout seasons maybe for a youngster. I'll start with Ali. Just to go back to him. Anyone particular look out for me?
Nobody in the teenage bracket, I would say, but we've got some good young professionals that are early in their careers. So you're looking at, I mean, Jack Hamilton's only 23, so I'm looking for a big season for somebody like Jack Hamilton. We've got him on a 3-year deal. I think he could be up there as the top scorer in the league if he stays fit, and if we can provide him the service, I think he could do really well. Ethan Ross is only 22, but he's just been constantly injured. Ethan Ross on his game is a proper game changer.
Yes.
So the probably the two, Jamie Gullen's only 24 and Callum Smith's 23. They're probably the bracket, I would say, that we would look at. But teenagers, no. We've only got about five on the books, and none of them are ready for a breakthrough, I'd say, yet.
Hey, okay. Heather, would it be Stanway if he can get his way in the team?
Yeah, we have Ben Stanway, James Lyon. He's scored quite a lot of our goals. I think he's actually our joint top goal scorer right now, but early in the season. And they're both midfielders, and they're good. And then Xander McKenzie, who came on quite a little bit at the end of last season, looks exactly like Ian Fitzpatrick. They both have that kind of like buzz cut, Glasgow haircut, but he's good, and he played a lot when Jack McMillan was injured at the start of this season. And Jack McMillan, obviously, a fantastic player. Our biggest asset is Harry Millen and Jack McMillan. So he'll find it hard to get in, but yeah, I'd love to see Ben Stanway put his footprint in the team and you know, drop some of the other ones and you know, make a name for himself.
Okay, cheers. Robert Morton, you mentioned a couple of young players at the start, but who would be your standout pick?
I think Lewis McGrath's 22. He's not a teenager anymore, but he's kind of come through the academy. And as I said at the start, this is a big season for him. This will kind of make or break whether he's going to have a career at championship level or above. He's a kind of a tricky wide player, and he's prone to a spectacular goal or two, but he needs to be a wee bit more consistent. Alex King's a bit younger, kind of combative midfielder, who also likes a wee spectacular goal. And again, it's about him maybe getting a wee run in the team, which is difficult with the midfield that we've got. We also brought in that young boy, Jack Byrne, from Liverpool in the summer, who I didn't mention when we were talking about the signings.
Yeah.
He's only 19, and he's kind of come off the bench a couple of times, and he looks quite tricky. He didn't assist against Ayr United. He looks like he's got a few tricks up his sleeve. Seen some videos of him in training and stuff, and he looks quite skillful. I'm not sure if he's up to championship speed. But he's maybe worth keeping a wee eye out for. If he gets a wee run in the team, he's got the skill to potentially kind of be a wee bit of a standout.
Cool. Adam, anyone at Dunfermline, any kind of young player particular to look out for?
Yeah, got a few in the team directly from the academy, although he's probably at the top end of the younger player bracket, is Matty Todd. I think if it's not next season, he will be playing in the top six of the Scottish Premier League in the not too distant future. The boy is a real talent. I love watching him play. I think he's great. His namesake minus one D is Andrew Todd, who's the son of Andy Todd, who's a cult hero at Dunfermline. He's 17 years old and he's a player. And I think he's got a real bright future in the game. Apparently he has two other brothers who are even better than him
Is he as tall as his dad? His dad used to get thrown up front, didn't he, when Dunfermline were a goal behind in the last minute type thing?
Well, he's definitely about 6 foot, so, but he came on against you guys in the second half in the league. He's a really, really good player. And then I think two guys that haven't really been seen yet on the scene is Kane Ritchie-Hosler, signed him from Rangers B, ex-Man City player. He's a real, really attacking, creative winger. I think once he gets fit and back at it, he's going to cause most defences problems this season. And then there's a chap called Ewan Otu, ex-Celtic B captain, Scotland under-18 player. He's a top talent as well. I think he'll go on as well to have not only a good career at Dunfermline, but I think he'll also go on to play at a very high level in Scotland. So, yeah, we've got a good group of young players coming through. I'm really excited about our academy as well. I think it's going to be a real source of success for Dunfermline moving forward.
Nice one, Adam. Andy, there's plenty of young players at Dundee United that got a chance last year in the Premiership. Anyone in particular you think might stand out this year?
That's what I would disagree. I think the problem is that our well, you know, having been a club that's always produced good young players, has really dried up in the last 6, 7, 8 years. Obviously, Harry Souter's gone on to things about six, seven years ago. He left. And other than that, we've really struggled to produce good young players. I think if you were picking a guy to look out for, Rory McLeod is our youngest ever player. He's a kind of young striker. He was linked with a move to Fulham. There was rumours that kind of Tony Ashcroft was trying to push that through. But that didn't happen. And I think actually United being relegated might indirectly help guys like him and Kai Fotheringham, because they would have probably got less game time in the Premiership. Whereas I think that they will have to play a bit of a part. And I think, you know, Rory McLeod, he's not yet scored, but has got to be looking to try and chip in with kind of half a dozen goals. I would have thought this season would be kind of his kind of target. And then beyond that, till after Fotheringham and McLeod, we really don't have kind of young talent coming through. I mean, Declan Glass is now 23. He's kind of been loaned out several times and he's in the last year of his contract. So I don't know if he still counts as young, if he's kind of 23. The only other guy might be Matthew Cudjoe, who scored the winner, the equaliser against Dunfermline late on. He's only 19. I can't make up my mind about him, to be honest. He kind of flatters to deceive a bit. But again, he'll get that opportunity with game time that he didn't have in the Premiership.
Okay.
Andy, I thought Chris Mockery, when he was at Dunfermline last season, was technically a very, very good player. A bit hot and cold, but he's only, 20 as well. I think he has a future in the game. Maybe not Dundee United, but he can pick a pass out. He's an exciting player, I always thought.
I mean, you're right. You forget he's only 20, because again, he also made his debut for United when he was only 16. I think at the time we were trying to get him to get appearances when he wasn't when he was 16, because it increases the development fee, and the expectation was he was going to go at 16, 17 down south, and that didn't happen. He's not really played a part so far for United, so it'll be interesting, because in the opportunities he did have in the first team, admittedly a couple of years ago when he was 18, he didn't do it, but he's obviously had the full season at Dunfermline, and in a Dunfermline side that was winning most weeks, which has got to be a good thing as well, right? Because he will have had that swagger of being at the top of the league with Dunfermline last season. So be interesting to see if he comes in, but to date he's not really had much of a look in this season.
And then finally, Katie, what about RJ? Any kind of particular player to look out for?
Well, we've got quite a few. We've got quite a lot of youngsters who don't call us the Rugrats for nothing. Lewis McGregor, he seems to be, he kind of obviously was on loan from Morton last season and then we've signed him. He's pretty decent. He's got a bit of pace about him as well. He made the difference when he came on in the playoffs against Hamilton. He was the one that changed the whole game. Dean McMaster as well. We had him in loan from St Mirren last season. We've signed him. He came off the bench quite a lot last season, but this season, especially with Reece being injured against Thistle, Saturday, he was my man of the match. He ran the midfield. He's not scared to take a tackle. He's not scared to pass. He's quite calm on the ball as well. Then obviously you've got two boys in from Hibs. They're pretty good, and the boy Dunlop. But we've got a couple of really young boys that last year, Kyan Gunn, he scored against St Mirren last year in the cup. He's only 16, I think. And Corey Fellows, he had a couple of appearances last year, and they've been on the bench this season. They're coming through the academy. Our academy seemed to do really well last season, so there's a bit of potential there.
It's good to see in the Championship, because certainly in the Premiership there wasn't many young players getting game time last season, so at least if they're getting games in the Championship and can impress, it's all good. I was going to ask about top goal scorers, but I'll no bother. I'll move on. This one I like to do a wee bit of fun. So if you could steal a signing from one of our clubs in the Championship this season, who would it be? I'll start with you, Robert. So one of the signings from one of our clubs, who would it be?
I think it'd be Jack Hamilton. I think we don't desperately need a striker. We tend to score goals all over the park. Their midfield kind of chips in with quite a few, but if you want to go on and challenge at the top in the Championship, you need a goal scorer. And Jack Hamilton's definitely the signing who has the potential to be that in the Championship this year.
Okay, Andy, what about yourself?
I'd quite like to see Kane Ritchie-Hosler coming in at Dunfermline and kind of see what he does. But beyond that, I've been, as I said, impressed with kind of Rafe's kind of recruitment. And actually, I think from the outside looking in, it looked as if Dylan Easton was great at Airdrie and actually maybe didn't quite live up to it in the first season at Rafe. Ali would obviously know more than me there. And so maybe this could be the season that Easton kind of pushes on and kind of proves himself kind of in the Championship, because I thought he was a cracking player from the bits I saw of him at Airdrie beforehand.
Okay, Ali, who would you have admiring glances at?
You've caught me in the hook with that one. I've actually not got my eyes on anybody, to be honest, at the moment. If there was another fullback in there, it'd probably be the guys from, I'd be looking at Patrick Thistle's fullbacks, because I was really impressed with both of them, right and left. That would give us really solid foundation, but yeah, I didn't want to say that I'm overly confident with the signs we've made or too happy with them, but yeah, I think we've done good business, so I'm not looking elsewhere at the moment.
Right, okay, that's all right. Adam?
It's a massive punt, but I would like Lewis, I'd like to see Lewis Moulton at East Impact. I just think that if you keep him fit, he's just going to bang the goals in, and that alone might push the D over to the title.
I thought you were going to see Lewis Vaughan there, it was going to kill me.
Callum Smith as well, he's close to second.
Katie?
Jack Hamilton, I think, is a great signing. O'Halloran as well, if you can keep him fit, I think he's going to be a good signing as well. It's just
Did he not struggle at Cove last year?
He did, but I still think if he's fit, he'll be good.
That's a possible
attitude issue there. I think anyone would struggle.
O'Halloran.
Well, that's what the rumour was, and so it was interesting. There were similar rumours, right, when he got signed, and he's going, is he going to be a kind of a big time trial or whatever? But there's two things I've noticed about him. One, his interviews, he seemed very humble in his interviews when he first came to the club, and I think that can always set the tone, what the player's kind of body language is, etc.
And James McPake as well is really pedantic on who he brings in culturally and who's going to be a cultural fit within the team. And it has been known on record that he has rejected certain players of a higher quality than we currently have because he didn't think they were the right cultural fit. So I think O'Halloran just needs to keep fit and we might be all right.
Okay, and then finally on this one, Heather.
I think Sean Byrne, I think we were in for him and we didn't and didn't get him. So I think that would have been a natural fit for us. Potentially not an exact Ross Doherty replacement, but would have been closer to it than Ben Williamson and Kerr McInerney are both quite attacking minded. So I think that would be it for me.
Okay. But
there is rumours that we might be getting Charlie. There's been rumours for a while that we might be in for Charlie Mulgrew, which I'm sure will be. I know it's definitely it's one that some of our fans absolutely love, and it's some of the ones our fans absolutely hate. And I think he was training with us for a little bit, maybe just to keep fit, and he's got a few friends in the team. But from the faces I've seen that from you guys, I don't think it's. I don't want us to panic yet, but yeah.
Depends how many Celtic supporter gigs he's got on the week to see how he kind of plays. But no, he was finished last year. He had a great first season with United, but he was completely finished last year. And although Benedetti got the criticism for being in goals, it was a back triangle of him and a guy called Ryan Edwards, who's not picked up a club either. I think Mulgrew's next gig will be on open goal rather than playing football, but I might be wrong.
I'd agree there.
Right, again, very quickly, this is from Josh, one of the kind of regulars in the podcast. What's your favourite away day in the Championship? I'll go Robert.
God, that's a tough one. Probably Arbroath. I like going to Arbroath. Much like Capello, it's an old fashioned stadium. You're close to the pitch, and I like actually travelling to go to an away game. It's like when you're only an hour on the bus, it doesn't really feel like you're going to an away game. Do you know what I mean? Especially when I live in Glasgow, so I'm an hour on the bus to go to a home game.
Andy, what about yourself?
It's hard to argue with our bro, but the one I'm probably most looking forward to is I've not actually been to Stark's Park before, Ali, so I need to take that one off my kind of. United and Rafe actually haven't been in the league very often. I think there was only one season when we were last down and that we were in there with Rafe because they were in League One for the other three seasons. So I'm looking forward to Stark's Park, and also it'll be quite interesting to see United at Hampden again. It'll be the big Hampden, I believe, but. To go against the grain, I don't think Queen's Park will be anywhere near the top of the league. I'll put a risk of getting an egg in my face. I think United will finish 25 points ahead of Queen's Park, and they're more likely to be near the bottom of the league than the top.
Are you okay? I'm definitely making a note of that one, Andy.
To go out all on Alan Hansen, you don't win anything with kids, and they've got a 16-year-old in goals, and they've got in a bunch of teenagers on loan. I just think they're going to be really streaky. And I think the drop-off they had at the end of last season is more likely what we're going to see from Queen's Park. But I'm basing this on absolutely nothing, of course, because I know nothing. These guys could be absolutely great young kids that come through and prove me wrong, but I just don't see that as being a working formula. And I think Queen's Park are more likely, even with 9 points out of nine, to be near the bottom than the top of the league.
Ali, favourite away day?
I do like the old school one at Arbroath. I like standing on the terraces, and they do a tremendous pie selection up there as well. So I do enjoy a day up at Arbroath.
Good pie is always good. It's lucky Aaron's not here. The podcast would last about another hour. Adam, what about you? Favourite away day?
I think the one I'm looking forward to the most is Somerset Park going to air. I think Somerset Park is just one of these old stadiums that you just don't get anymore. And I love I love going to that stadium. We don't have a great record there, but I do enjoy that stadium. I think it's just a capture of a moment in time for Scottish football. So yeah, looking forward to going to here.
Okay, hey, Katie.
There's a couple of grounds obviously we've not been to for a while. I'm looking forward to getting back down to Capello, Somerset Park as well. But my favourite has to be Arbroath. It's just such a great wee ground. I love the terracing, love how close you are to the pitch. I'll take your word on the pies. My son will probably agree with that. He lives a good pie, but no, definitely a growth.
I mean, going by this, you'll need to all like make the most of your abroad trip, seeing as I'm going down.
Sounds like it.
So enjoy where it lasts. Heather?
You know what I have to say? This championship is tough scenes. And I could tell you, I think it's for me, it's harder to tell you which is the worst to go to than it is the best. But especially after being at Tynecastle on a Sunday, being absolutely spoiled with that. It's such a stunning ground. And I think I'll agree with Somerset. We always take a great fan base down there. It's always a good trip, and there's a lot of atmosphere. So I always enjoy being behind the goal. Definitely here.
Okay.
I've never heard someone say "can't wait to get back to Capello," though. I have to say
that's a new one on me as well. I do like going to Somerset. Partly because we never get a great result down there, but I just never enjoy Somerset.
They long come trip, from far and wide to go to Capello. Capello's kind of recognised the world over as a proper old school Scottish stadium.
For the away fans in the main stand, that's only. your knees round your ears.
My niece has just turned two, and she's been at Capello twice already. And we were discussing the fact that's a really like for only being well at that point she's like 1.5 for spending that much of your life at Capello already. We were like, are you reporting my brother for child cruelty or yeah? But all jokes, I promise.
That's how I've viewed everything in life. Like if she's been to Capello, what do you guys think of pricing in the championship? Think it's decent or could do better? Very quickly, like an over.
Could do a lot better.
It's getting expensive, isn't it? It is getting expensive. I mean, I know inflation's played a big part in everybody's life, but it does feel expensive to go to football these days.
I think especially when you see the prices that we're putting on for the cup. I don't know about you, but we've put we've got Queen of the South at home, which is hardly like a very exciting time. I'd much rather be at Palmerston, but or at a team that I haven't seen before. But I think we're £15 for adults and 10 for something, and that I think that's pretty good. But it's worrying when that's good. I do think, and I have to say, I think Dundee United, the price that we are having to pay to come to Tannadice is shocking. In my book, you know, when other teams are managing to do it cheaper and you've got the biggest budget, but fair play, obviously, you know, it's just the way it is. But I do think that, I think if there was almost like an agreement of 20 is plenty, it'd be great. And Thistle, you have the kids go free stuff, which is really great. And you know, the fan base that we have right now, is a lot of that is due to the boys and girls who came at a younger age who are now still with it. But I do think it's something that could be looked at on a bigger scale, because going to the football is becoming more and more an expensive day. And I just feel for people who've got big families who want to take everyone, and everything just costs so much.
I think we're actually not bad. I think we're for a parent and child, it's like £25 and £20, £21, I think, for an adult. But I agree. I think, unfortunately, I think Dundee United is just ripping everybody off. I think I kind of priced it, and it's going to be like £100 for all of us to go to that away day.
Yeah, Rovers have done well this year. They've said under 12s are free, so that's good. But the adult prices are like £22 for a category B, and the category A is the filming Dundee United. That's 24. So
that's quite expensive. We're 22 across the board. And I think when you say that £22 to go to a championship game, it sounds like a bit of money, but when you look at it kind of relevant to like wages, it's like 2 hours wages. Like 20 years ago, you would have been paying 2 hours wages to go to the football on a Saturday. Do you know what I mean? That's why it can seem like it's kind of, the prices have increased quite a lot, but I'm happy to pay £22 to go to a championship game.
Okay, fair enough. Out of interest, what are Dundee United charging in for away fans?
£28.
It's the kids' prices, quite expensive as well, I'm sure.
It's £18 for the concession.
That's a lot of money.
the under 12, if they're under 12, I'm pretty sure it's cheaper if you've got like a reciprocal agreement with a season ticket and stuff like that. But I'm pretty sure there's something there, but there certainly used to be.
Katie, something that was getting quite a lot of plaudits for the ARG thing was the fact that there was something for unemployed people as well. It was specifically advertised. I know that some clubs do it, but maybe don't have it on their overall bracket. But, you know, when some, I always find it baffling when some stadiums will do, there's a student for the home end, but there's not a student for the away end and things like that. So I thought, and you don't often hear a Thistle fan saying it, but kudos to ARG for like stepping up and just maybe understanding people's financial difficulties. I thought that was really important. But I do think that, I mean, Dundee United have to accept that they're in the Championship and you can't keep on paying that. I just think it's a joke.
Right, this is kind of maybe a bit twofold. So Scott asked about the Championship being underrepresented in the mainstream media. What do you guys think of that? Does it bother you, or you think it's all right in terms of the TV deal now? Obviously, 2029, 20 live games per season.
I think we do a really poor job in the mainstream and sort of main media channels to talk about lower league football, or even just football outside of the Old Firm, to be honest. I mean, you could go as far as that. I don't even think it's just about the Championship. I think our coverage of Scottish football at that level is, and we're really bad at telling the great stories of the lower leagues, in particular. In Championship last season, you've got every team going down to the last game of the season, aside from Wraith, playing with something and real meaningful. I mean, that's what an incredible story that could be if packaged up in the right way and broadcasted out to the media. Because there's some great, you know, fan led podcasts and there's some great fan movements talking about it. You've got Nutmeg Magazine and the likes that do a great job. But the knowledge outside of Rangers and Celtic of mainstream platforms for promoting Scottish football is in my opinion is woeful. And I think the Championship could be a great advertisement for Scottish football with a real TV deal, especially when things are so close and the teams are so tight. I think we really shoot ourselves in the foot with that.
I think in this day and age when clubs are really looking to maximise income streams, that an independent deal for the Championship on TV would it's a no-brainer for me. For the last 2, 3, 4 years, it's been the most competitive league in Britain, and we do not make enough of it. And as Adam was saying, even within Scotland, out with the Old Firm, football doesn't really get spoken about. I regularly talk to people in Glasgow who I work with who've never heard of Morton. Do you know what I mean? And Morton are quite a historical club. And it's because the media focuses so much on Rangers and Celtic. And it's that whole thing of, so who do you support? Morton. But who do you really support?
you get having a lot of the kind of central belt teams who ask that kind of question. Does the Friday night games help with exposure? Like, do you like going as fans, or do you prefer the Saturday 3 o'clock?
I love the Cinch Friday. I think it's come. Maybe works better for a team like Thistle who are Glasgow, and it's, and you know, we've had some great nights there when against Queen's Park and things like that. If we're calling that a derby, I'm not sure. But, you know, like, I think there's definitely a benefit for Cinch Fridays. And they've, the media, the way that they've, I actually think they've done, BBC Scotland have done quite well with them. And you wish that they had more time, a bigger chance to take that and run. I've been extremely critical over the a while about the way that, like, even BBC Scotland, I think when you lost Richard Gordon, you lost that, like, that person who managed to really bring in all the different things, and I really liked him as he just had a real big understanding, and I do think that we do miss someone that has the same knowledge and care for the lower leagues as others. But But for Fridays, I do really enjoy them. But we've never played Inverness on a Saturday in about, it feels about seven seasons, because we're constantly a Friday night, either there or with us. And that's so hard for both teams. And we have a joke about it, but it just never guarantees a great number of away support. Like, you get the kind of, you get the hardcore ones or the ones that can have a Friday half day or take like maybe the whole weekend off, but it is quite a commitment.
Anything from the rest of you? Or
if we win, it helps, sets up the weekend nicely if you win on a Friday, otherwise it ruins your weekend by 10 o'clock. No, I quite like it, insofar as particularly, like, I've got a couple of young kids, so you can generally sneak away and get a couple of beers before the game on a Friday night and then come back, you know, after it type thing, and you've still got your whole weekend ahead of you. So I quite like, a few Friday night games just to kind of mix up the card and stuff like that. And I think I agree, the BBC Scotland coverage, I think it is good now. It's also at 7:45 rather than that 7:05, and kind of, you know, there was like 5 minutes of build up and then it was cut off bang on 9 o'clock type thing. So they're putting in more of an effort there.
Okay.
I like a game under the lights as well. I think the floodlights add to the whole ambience at a game of football. But I think playing the last game of the season on a Friday night is a nightmare. I think the last game of the season should be 3 o'clock on a Saturday.
I agree with that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I do think having a regular Friday slot, though, I think is a nice niche for the Championship.
It's a niche.
You know, there isn't any football on a Friday night. You know, you could get people in the pub. You might get people going along, you know, let's just go down to the game because we're back home or whatever. So I would like to see, even if as a next step, that the Championship could even go for is every second Friday there's a match under the lights, and maybe get to the point where every Friday there is one game, and that kicks off the Scottish football that weekend is a Friday night under the lights game, and it becomes a thing, and it's a showcase then for the Championship. Because I mean, the playoff coverage was great when you were just, you know, obviously not for some of the teams involved, but for me as a neutral, I love just sitting down and just be able to watch games every single day. It was fantastic.
And we put on a good show for you. We really did.
You did put on a great show. It was fantastic.
But I also think that my knowledge of the Championship, as in the other teams, has improved massively from Friday nights, because you do quite like, I'll sit and watch Arbroath Fife Rovers, where maybe I wouldn't have naturally, obviously on a Saturday I would have been at Fir Hill, but you know, I maybe wouldn't have read that match report, but that being on a Friday is quite enjoyable, and I do think it is a bit more accessible to others.
Right, we'll finish with a quick bit of fun. If there was a 16 team Premiership, where would your team finish based on this season, Robert?
Based on this season?
So the clubs, it's a difficult one because you would have to figure out who would be included. It was Josh, so we can blame Josh for not thinking about like the fact we need to pick the 16 clubs.
Because if I've got us finishing fourth in the Championship, we're finishing 16th.
the top end of the Championship is actually stronger than the bottom end of the
I think, unfortunately, I think we'd struggle. Historically, we struggle in the Premier League. We're a team who ship a lot of goals in the Premier League. So we would be relegated.
Relegated, okay. I mean, Andy, you'd probably be relegated because you've got experience of it a good few times, but a 16 team would probably help Dundee United.
That's right. An Aberdeen fan talking about league reconstruction to avoid relegation. Who would have possibly thought that, Johnny? Yeah, that's a good idea. I wonder where you got that from. Well, United would obviously finish ahead of Dundee, right? But beyond that, United are the sixth biggest club in the country, so should be aiming to finish sixth. But with the current squad, they wouldn't finish sixth.
Where would it be, Jink? 15th?
No. I mean, on the basis of tipped us to win the league and we'd finish ahead of Dundee, and I would say United's current side would finish. St Johnstone are garbage as well, so we'll go ahead of St Johnstone and Dundee, and let's go County as well. So let's go ninth.
Aye, but we're a 16-team league. Oh, yeah, I suppose all the Championship clubs as well. Aye, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. That was my bad. Ali?
15th or 16th. I can't see us being much higher than that, to be honest. We've signed well, but I'm not sure a lot of these players are Premier League levels.
That's us now doing the reconstruction. Okay, any good, is it?
I still 15th or 16th. I'm thinking that's no. We're not going to take a massive leap and start walloping teams up there, I don't think.
Right, okay. Hey, Adam?
I think similar to Ali would be about 14, 15. But with a few extra bodies, I think we could do some damage.
Josh asked too many questions. He asked three. I asked for one question from each of them, and they were like three. But I thought I'd ask anyway. Katie, would it be the same?
I 15th, 16th. I mean, after the game against Ross County, we gave a good account of ourselves. I'd like to say, we'll finish 10th or something like that. But realistically, it's not going to happen, is it?
Okay, Heather.
I think last year's team would have done pretty well in there, and if we'd managed to hold on to them, I think we could have been not top six, but I think we would have been pressing. I think the current team, the team that played against Airdrie, are finishing dead last and with a cracking minus goal difference. But maybe 15th, like with a kind of heroic. Save the team in the last game of the season or something like that. But yeah, I don't think our current team would be up to much in the Premier League. But St Johnstone don't look great.
No, definitely not. Right, okay. I kind of want to end the podcast on a high, but I don't think that worked out there. I could try and think of something. No, it's been a good show. Thank you very much to all of you for coming on. Andy and Katie, good to have you back on. Robert, Ali, Adam, Heather, hope you all enjoyed it. And would wish to return. As I said earlier, all these predictions and everything is written down, so it will come back to haunt you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Right. Cheers, guys, and happy football.
Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.